This is Amy Bowen. Welcome to episode 1 of the ThreadSafe podcast for Tuesday, October 4th, 2016. Welcome to my show. For those who don't know me, my name is Amy Bowen, and I've been a longtime contributor to many podcasts, including Jack Mankin's Deadpan podcast, which I started contributing to in 2006. Through that podcast, I met Paul Mackey, who started up the Ghostlight podcast a couple of years ago, and I was his co-host on every episode of that show. Through the Deadpan podcast's annual community meetup, I also met Chuck Tomasi, who talked me into signing up for the Dog Days of Podcasting Challenge this past summer. And during Dog Days of Podcasting this summer, I launched 3 different kinds of mini-shows. They were called Amy Talks About Stuff, Movie Chat with the Movie Night Crew, and Thread Snippings. This show, the ThreadSafe podcast, is a relaunch of Thread Snippings in a somewhat longer and more fleshed-out format. The title was the brainchild of one of my fellow Dog Days of Podcasting participants, Dave Slusher of the Evil Genius Chronicles. He said, via the Dog Days of Podcasting Facebook group, and I quote, "I realized the other day that if you wanted in your podcast to talk about either sewing or tech topics without segmenting them into different shows, you could call it the ThreadSafe Podcast." I actually had to Google it because I didn't know what that meant because I'm a networking person and not a programmer. Turns out it's a programming concept. A piece of code is thread safe if it can be executed safely by multiple threads in a multi-threaded program at the same time. I thought that was a great idea for a show title, so that's what I went with. The ThreadSafe podcast is dedicated to everyone who relaxes after a hard day behind a computer by indulging their creative, crafty side, just like me. My day job is working in a network operations center, but when I'm not at work, one of my favorite hobbies is making cosplay costumes. I had so much fun podcasting about my latest costume project during the Dog Days of Podcasting this year that I decided to keep going. On this show, after this intro babble section, I'm going to talk about my main topic of the day. Most of the time that will probably be some aspect of the costume-making process, but sometimes it might be a topic from the world of technology, or it might be something about how creative work and technical work interact and intersect. Every show will have a costume status update and a useful resource of the day. I'm open to your feedback and your ideas for other segments, too. I'll put my contact information at the end of the show and in the show notes. For now, let's get to our main topic. Today's episode is titled, A Cosplay Origin Story. I wanted to launch this version of the podcast by talking about how I got into making costumes. My mom was a sewer and made a few dresses, skirts, and Halloween costumes for me and my sister while we were growing up. There was always a sewing machine somewhere in the house, and I learned how to sew from being around her. The first time I ever designed my own costume for an occasion other than Halloween was in the spring of 1999. That occasion? The release of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. Say what you will about the movie itself, but that's not the point here. At the time, I was in love with Star Wars in general, and, like most fans at the time, was fascinated and intrigued by the new villain, Darth Maul. So I came up with an idea for a fun outfit to wear to go see the movie. In my mind, I dubbed this outfit, A Tribute to Darth's Past and Present. It consisted of the helmet, not the mask part, just the helmet, and the cape from a Darth Vader Halloween costume that I already had, a bunch of black clothes that I already had, some construction paper, tape, and Ben Nye cream makeup. I used the construction paper to make a set of 10 conical horns, which I taped to the helmet in the appropriate places, and then I spent 20 minutes face-painting my face like Darth Maul's, using only the cream makeup and my fingers. I was 13. I didn't know any better. So I went out like that to the movie theater with some other youth group people from my church, and I had a lot of fun, and I may have looked completely ridiculous, but it sure was fun, and I thought it was a great self-expression of how excited I was for this movie. 3 years after that, in the spring of 2002, I got involved in my high school's anime club, through which I found out that there was an event called Anime Expo, and that people made costumes for it. 2002 was the first year I went to Anime Expo, and I made two costumes based on two characters from my favorite anime series at the time, Digimon, and wore them to the con. And I was hooked. I had to keep going back every year, and I had to go to local cosplay events occasionally when I could get a ride to them, and I had to have a new costume for every Anime Expo, and I did for 5 years in a row. I made at least one or two new ones per year for the next 5 years, and I actually still have one of them. It's in the closet right behind me. It's frayed pretty badly at the bottom, is a tiny bit too tight, and needs to be ironed, but I still love it anyway. It's my BT from Dot Hack Sign dress. I'll have to tell that story some other time. I went on a bit of a hiatus from cosplay from 2007 until 2012, for reasons I won't go into right now, but as soon as I was able to, I started right back up again. I looked up my local anime conventions, and it turned out that the one here in the Omaha, Nebraska area was actually close enough to where I lived that I could walk to it. I say was, because this is the first year it's in a new venue, and I can't do that anymore. But for those first couple of years, I had a lot of fun walking back and forth in the various costumes I made, and helping my more elaborately costumed friends get around the convention. As much fun as it was, though, I really wasn't as much into anime as I had been before. I had stopped keeping up with it years ago. But then, last December, new Star Wars for the first time in quite some time, and I was pretty much hooked all over again, and I decided, I'm going to finally do it. I'm going to finally make that really, really good Jedi costume. So I did. Did a bunch of research first, spent pretty much the better part of 2016 working on it on and off, wore it for most of the time I was at Dragon Con 2016, which I'd never been to before, and decided completely on the spur of the moment to be in the costume contest that was part of the Star Wars track there, and to my amazement, got an award for the best intermediate Jedi or Sith costume, which was a pretty significant milestone for me, and an incredibly validating experience. We don't do award acceptance speeches in the world of cosplay and costume contests. But if we did do them, this is what I would have said. I'd like to thank my mom, who taught me how to sew in the first place, and who was generous enough to let me go see The Phantom Menace 4 or 5 times that summer, and my dad, whose idea, I believe, it was to take the whole family to see the Star Wars special editions when they came out in theaters. It was because of him that I once wrote in one of my childhood journals, "I am a Star Wars geek, like my father before me." Thank you for setting me on the path to where I am today. And now it's time for a costume status update. Since I came back from Dragon Con, I'm sorry to have to say that I've been feeling a little bit burned out on sewing. Of course, if you were listening to my last few Dog Days of Podcasting episodes, you heard about how much work I put in during that last week. In fact, so much work that I realized after the fact that I hadn't even bothered to make show notes for my last 9 Dog Days of Podcasting episodes. Anyway, since then, I actually have not touched that costume at all. My Jedi robe, the good one, version 2, the one I wore to the Parsec Awards ceremony, is at this moment lying on my couch waiting for me to iron it and finish hemming it. I need to both finish the robe and make a better inner tunic. The one I have is really uncomfortable and is made of a flat fabric. I need to make one out of the textured fabric. in time for the Rogue One premiere, which is 72 days from today. Yes, I'm counting. And yes, I've already put almost 95 hours of effort into this Jedi outfit. Yes, I keep track. And yes, I am going to patch it up and improve it before the premiere. And yes, I'm absolutely going to be wearing it the first time I see Rogue One. But at the same time, there is a part of me that just wants that cheap plastic helmet back. Last year's Episode 7 really made me feel like a kid again, and a lot of that restored childlike enthusiasm for Star Wars is still around even now. Since I'm one of those who is excited about the return of Darth Vader to the big screen, that enthusiasm wants to express itself in the form of a villain-themed costume of some kind. No construction paper horns this time, though. No face paint, either. Am I going to get a villain-themed costume in the next 72 days? I don't know. I might. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be seeing Rogue One at least twice, so I definitely have the opportunity to wear one. And now it's time for the useful resource of the day. My first useful resource of the day is my time recording app. This is what I've been using all this time to keep track of the time I've spent working on my Jedi costume, and I plan to use it to keep track of every costume project I do from now on. It was just the first one that came up on the Google Play Store when you looked for time recording, and it has a little red and white calendar icon, and I think it works perfectly for me, although, honestly, it has tons and tons of features and was quite clearly intended to be used as a time clock for multiple employees in a business, rather than just for one person. So it has an enormous number of features that I never use at all, but I do use the tracking multiple projects and multiple pay rates, although you can also leave this blank. I've used it for both costuming projects and also for a few freelance projects that I've done, so that's been very helpful. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. This is the part of the show where I would put listener feedback if I had any listener feedback, but this is my first episode, so I'll just skip straight to how to contact me. The show notes for this show are going to be on my blog at ameliabowen.com, and I highly encourage you to get in touch with me by commenting on my blog post there. Or, if you'd rather send an email, it's amy, A-M-Y, at ameliabowen.com. And I'm on Twitter as at amybowen. By the way, if you're working on a costume or any other creative project, I highly encourage you to share a status update on the show. Let's all keep each other accountable and motivated. The easiest way to do that is to either record an MP3 on your computer and email it to me, or you can use the voice memo or voice recorder feature on your phone to record a sound file and email that. That's it for this episode of the ThreadSafe Podcast. Thanks for listening, and until next time, may your threads stay smooth and untangled. The theme song for the ThreadSafe Podcast is Puzzle Pieces by Lee Rosevere from the album Music for Podcasts 2, which is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license and is available via freemusicarchive.org. The transition sound effect is Scissors Cutting by Sklolex, which is available via freesound.org.